get rocked for my kids. Is that real?
Even though what we do is wrong,
we still hustle till the sun come up. Crack a 40 when the sun go down. It's a cold winter, y'all better bundle up. And I better be a hotter summer, grab a onion just to rock it down. You hot now, listen up. Don't you know cops' sole purpose is to lock us down and throw away the key? But without this drug, your kids ain't got no way to eat, huh? We still try to keep mom smiling, cause when the teeth stop showing and the stomach start growling, then the heat start blowing. If you're from the hood, I know you feel me.
Keep going.
If a sneak start leaning and the heat stop working, then my heat start working, I'ma rob me a person. Catch a sleeping while he out in the open, and I'ma get him.
We're doing this at a weird time of the year, March. We normally are still on an off season, but we are into the middle of, this is our free agency review show. And obviously a lot has happened over the last several weeks for both our teams, the Eagles and the Steelers. That's why we have Ken on tonight. No John on tonight. Hopefully he'll be on for the draft shows. But obviously, a lot to get into. We'll start with Ken's Steelers, since he will be on here for a little bit before he has to do his business. Obviously, Steelers have made a lot of changes at the quarterback position. They brought in Arthur Smith to run the offense, and all three quarterbacks that used to be on the Steelers in January are not there anymore. They signed Russell Wilson, paying only $1 million of his salary, why the Broncos have to pay $38 million. And then they decide, why don't we just create controversy? Let's trade for Justin Fields, another big topic quarterback in this offseason. Now steers the Bears' way to drafting Caleb Williams next month, number one overall. So, obviously, we'll get to the Eagles in a moment, but let's start with our friends to the West. And Ken, you can start discussing this. Your thoughts on your Pittsburgh Steelers making quarterback changes, and will it be enough to turn the tide with Baltimore and Cincinnati and even Cleveland in a very, very, very tough AFC North?
Well, to start off, Mr. Rooney said he wants to win now. And so he must have put the directive out there, and it looks like they started the GM and Tomlin started listening. And so, yeah, they cut Wilson. It was a great deal. When you look at his statistics, his first year in Denver was pretty bad. But his season last year was pretty solid. 26 touchdowns. I think he had over 4,000 yards passing, only 6 interceptions. The guy had a really great season. He had more yards and touchdowns last year than Kenny, the crybaby Pickett, had in his career. Now, I tried liking Ken Pickett. I worked hard at liking Ken Pickett because I didn't like him coming out of college. I didn't like him when he didn't play in the All-Star game or in the bowl game that Pitt was in, because he was saving himself for the draft. And so that put him on the wrong foot with me. Pittsburgh drafts him. I do what a good Steeler fan does. I try to follow. I try to like him. I rooted for him. Heck of a fourth quarter quarterback. He won us 6 games in the fourth quarter in 2 years. So I can't take that away from him, but I don't know why he couldn't play in the first 3 quarters. So we went out and got Wilson for a great deal. And the guy last year could still play football. So I'm pretty damn excited about having him come in and lead this team. Pickett didn't want to put up with any competition. And so he cried his way to Philadelphia. And so do you guys have any comments about your new second string or third string quarterback? I think he's a third string quarterback. He truly would have gotten a decent shot with Wilson, and quarterbacks get hurt, and if he would have kept his mouth shut, they probably would have kept him. And who knows if they had signed Wilson, but next year, but he had a better shot at playing in the next couple of years in Pittsburgh than he does in Philadelphia, because he has no shot unless if Hurts gets injured. That's the only way he's going to get. And I think the second string quarterback has to get injured. He's the third stringer, isn't he?
No, he'll be number two.
No, he's going to be the backup. He's going to be the backup.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Potentially, almost backdoorly, will start two games this season.
Yeah.
Oh, he will?
Potentially.
There's a good chance. I mean, Hurts does get banged up, and who knows, maybe the Eagles win the division and bench their starters for the last game. You know.
Okay, yeah.
And Ken, also, him going to Philly might have been on him because he did grow up in New Jersey. He was an Eagles fan from birth. He idolized Donovan McNabb, of all people. I'm just saying. So him going to Philly may be different than his run here in Pittsburgh. But then again, let's be honest. The 2022 quarterback class, you take away Brock Purdy, it's the worst quarterback class ever because nobody really gave the damn. You know? Nobody really cares about the quarterbacks from that class because there really wasn't any. Compared to this year, the 2020 class that a lot of people compare this class to coming out next month, we'll see. 2020 class pretty damn good. 2021, not too good because only one player is left on his team. And then whatever. So, yeah.
I feel bad,
but then again, I don't feel bad because, like I said, it is the Steelers. They have been struggling a lot here last couple of years since Big Ben retired. Obviously, you're not drafting the quarterback. You're happy with these two, and you're hoping that Russell Wilson can turn back to Seattle Russ from like 2015-16 era, and Justin Fields probably will be the starter by the end of the year because you're basically getting Russ on a rental, and Denver has to pay the salary because of their dead cap situation.
And that's great. But tell me, what was wrong with Russell Wilson last year?
His contract.
Yeah. But
team's not good. Defense is bad.
Performance. You said back to his Seattle days. Contract has nothing to do with performance. What's the difference between last year and his Seattle playing?
Well,
day?
Like I said, remember, Denver doesn't have a very good defense. We look back at the 70 points they gave up against Miami early in the year. And they weren't really good at the end of the year, which they could have made the playoffs, and then they choked that down the drain. Sean Payton is not a patient guy. He knows that Russell might be done, or he might not be the same quarterback he once was, which I think the former is more than the latter. So he needed to get rid of that. They had to get rid of that salary. Like I said, Ken, I have a friend named Steve, and we talk at Planet Fitness every week about his Broncos. And he feels like they had to do what they had to do to get rid of Russ. I actually wanted Justin Fields to be traded to Denver, but then again, in a kamikaze way, they ended up being together on your team. And now they have to figure out who's going to be the long-term starter. But then again, one is 13 years into his career, and one's only 4 years into his career. So it'll be interesting to see what happens throughout the season and how your Steelers can handle the situation.
Yeah. Also, I think if I was just going to say that with Russell, he's performance-wise on the same, as you almost say, from Seattle. Like, last year was a pretty good year. I'm trying to look up his numbers, but his touchdown and interception ratio was pretty good. It's just that I don't know why Denver put up all that money in the first place. Like, he's already in his 30s. Denver got desperate, and we just gave him all this money. And then after a year or two, they're like, wait, what the hell? Now we're stuck. And then they bring in a new coach, like you say, Sean Payton, who I still think is overrated. And he's impatient. And so they looked at next year, like, well, what are we going to do with this $35 million coming up? And we don't think we're going to win a title with Russell. And I get why they don't think they're going to win with him with their situation. Like I said, they've got defensive fix. another offensive player is a fix. So it just wasn't going to work out. I think for Pittsburgh, it's a good fit with what they got going on. And I really think they made a good move bringing in Justin Fields and giving us Pickett. I'd rather make the trade for Justin. Shoot, he was, it's only six round pick that you had to trade for him. We gave a third round for Pickett. So I actually think the quarterback situation is going to be okay, because I think Russ will be a good leader to Justin. I think Justin will learn from him. I still have hope in Justin. I know a lot of people don't. I still think there's something in there.
Yeah, Matt disagrees. He highly disagrees.
Yeah.
I know. But I still see something in the boy. So I think that could work and it could get better. So I actually overall think you guys are on a good future path. I don't think Russell may not win a Super Bowl with you, but it's possible. It's possible. It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, dude, what you see in Russell or in Justin Fields is the flash plays he makes. That's what you see. But as a quarterback that you're going to put your hopes on in your team on as a franchise quarterback, he's horrible. He can't. He sucked. He's a great athlete that plays quarterback, and he'll never be anything more. Russell Wilson, you know, he's solid. He's not in the. He's not in the elite category anymore, and that's what they were paying him
right.
to be a franchise yeah. quarterback. Mm-hmm. But he really mm-hmm. isn't quite in that level anymore. And I'll say this. I mean, Ken, tell you, man, if you're going to get a bad taste in your mouth when any college player sits out a bowl game, you better not even – you better hope that the Steelers only draft players that played for college or for playoff teams, because – any team that doesn't make the playoffs that has a potential first-round pick on their team, that guy always sits out anymore. And that guy, they just don't play. So
I know.
It's the way the game is now.
It is. I have a hard time with a lot of stuff with football. I mean, I'm having a hard time having this discussion tonight about football when the NFL yesterday told us that they're going to put the Eagles Friday night game on Peacock.
Yeah. I hear you. It's bullshit.
Unfortunately, I think we're addicted. I know I am. And so I enjoyed this conversation, but it pisses me off that the NFL mm-hmm. has us talking about them tonight, and then yep, they're going to yep. charge us to make us watch the Eagles game, although we won't have to watch, you know, pay for right. it over here, I don't think.
Yeah, no,
it'll still be on the local channels.
Ken, guess what? It's not going to be your Steelers going to Brazil. It'll be the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. No, I will say I'm not addicted though. If I was still in Florida, I'm going to be up there by then. I would not pay to watch that game.
Oh, you'll be up here. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I went out. I went out to watch. If it's the Steelers, I'll go out and watch them somewhere else. I haven't. I don't have a smart TV yet, although that's on the horizon. So I guess eventually I'm going to. They're going to break me down, but I'm just going to try to do it on my terms. So that's where we're at. I think Fields is Kenny Pickett with legs. I mean, that's pretty much how I look at him. Whenever I was looking at his numbers, he has the same passing numbers that Kenny Pickett had, which aren't very good, but he has some great running, you know, great legs, and he gets you a lot of yards there. So we'll see what that brings. I like the fact that he's agreed to come in and learn. I mean, I think that's a good positive attitude also. That's it for the quarterbacks. Why don't you talk a little bit about Pickett on your side?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, you already know a lot about him, you know, upside, you know, he seems like a clutch player compared to some quarterbacks. Downside is, like you said, he's limited in some areas. The small hands doesn't help. He's basically a backup quarterback because he comes out in a very bad class. If it was this year, he wouldn't be no more than probably a third round or a third day pick compared to the quarterbacks that are coming out in this draft. And some of these quarterbacks that are coming out in this draft, and we're not talking about that until our draft show, are pretty much overrated and overstated for what they might be. For what they might be. Some are going to make it and some aren't. That's how the NFL is. Ken, you've been around before the merger. You know how this league is. There's only two scouts in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, people are gaga going on over Caleb Williams. J.J. McCarthy is rumoredly going number two all of a sudden, and he's only better than the second round pick. I mean, hell, Jalen Hurts was a first round pick that was a first rounder that went in the second round. And J.J. McCarthy is a second rounder going in the first in the top five. I think it, you know, with Kenny Pickett, you know, he's a backup quarterback that's as good as he can be. You know, he has the opportunity to be a very decent quarterback backup. And, you know, like I watched the game with Case Keenum, you know, when he was with Minnesota. He can have a similar upside, but hey, he's an Eagle. He has to be traded. He has to go to Philly. And Steelers been a proud organization. They asked for his demands. He got his way, he wanted. So whatever.
So he did ask to go to Philly. Is that what he said?
I would assume so, because, you know, normally, you know, they, you know, when you're subject to trade, they'll just trade you for the value. But he wanted out, and the Eagles are his his favorite team.
Yeah.
Now he gets to go. Downside is he's a backup. That's all he's going to be, give and take Jalen Hurts situation. But at the end of the day, he gets what he wants, and he gets an opportunity to contend for a championship next year. So, or this coming season, possibly. So, you know,
I look at him like, the way I view Kenny Pickett at this point, like you said, he's limited as in terms of his skills, but he's not a bad quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. You surround him with some talent. You know, he can win you a couple games as a backup. Really, I view him in the same sort of category as like a Gardner Minshew. You know, it's really what he is. He can win you a couple games. Hell, Gardner Minshew, you put him in the exact right situation. He almost took them to the playoffs this year.
Indianapolis.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how I look at him. And for him going to Philly, I think that's probably a good spot for him, because he can sit behind Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a guy that gets banged up. He might get a couple starts. If he comes in with all the talent that the Eagles have around him, he could have a few big games, gets a few big games, might get a half decent contract, just like Gardner Minshew got this offseason with the Raiders, you know? So.
Yeah, it's funny, when you watch him, I do kind of like him. I see some potential, but then I look at the stats in his career: 24 starts, 13 touchdowns, 13 interceptions.
Yeah, average.
That's not the ratio you want.
Huh? Average, if you think so.
And so I see potential. It's just that, like last year, he had 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, which is kind of hard to only throw 6 touchdowns in 12 starts. But I don't think that he was trusted too much to throw too deep. You know, they relied on a running game, which worked out. I mean, they did get a winning record still out of that. And like I said, the defense keeping them low, very low scoring games. They had a lot of low scoring games with the Steelers. So, you know, as a backup here, I'm fine. As a backup, we'll see what. Hopefully, we want to see him more than, like I said, 2-3 times. Yeah. And maybe he'll be just more trade bait for us next year.
Yeah,
just right. Another trade of him.
I will say this: we're going back to Ken's Steelers for a second. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to be a problem, but yeah, I'll tell you, Ken, I think you're going to have problems with that offensive coordinator there, Arthur Smith. I mean, he looked like an absolute fool in Atlanta. He doesn't look like he knows what he's doing in terms of calling plays. I think he might have been a product in Tennessee. He looked like he might be a smart guy. I think he was just a product of Derrick Henry. You know, I think the whole thing was Derrick Henry, man. I just think that. You look at the way he used his. He had three top 10 draft picks in Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and he's out there. He's giving just as many opportunities, guys like Cordarrelle Patterson and Tyler Allgeier as he's given to Bijan practically. You know, he doesn't know how to use his studs. So,
Well, hopefully he's better as an offensive coordinator than a head coach. Sometimes you get overwhelmed as a head coach and you go back to your roots. But I see your point about being a product of Derrick Henry. That's a pretty good point. I'll just close on Kenny Pickett. I just realized he really had some nice games when he was, I think he was calling his, I don't know if he was calling his own plays, but in the fourth quarter, he really did perform. And so that's what kept giving me hope, is that the guy could still play in the fourth quarter. So I'll end on a positive note for Kenny Pickett, is that he certainly knows how to play in the fourth.
Well, and that's good. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, but like I said, we pray for your Steelers. Hopefully, you know, they made the moves that will make the Ravens and the Bengals and the Browns, you know, fear them. I don't know how much of fear, but, you know, 10 wins last year, 13 to win this division, 15 to be a Super Bowl contender, in my opinion. But I don't think it's going to be 15, because it'll be 14 highest. That's the ceiling. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with your Steelers this year. Obviously, like I said, how much longer you want to be on here, Ken? Because I know you said you had other things going on.
I do, but I have one of them under control, so I do have to run out and just check one thing. But I'm okay for a couple more minutes. I'm good.
We won't be long.
Yeah, because we're gonna move on to our topics now. I was going to say before we start, obviously we'll at the end of the show we will make a few announcements, and we have one big blockbuster. But also, you know, our thoughts go out to the Mortensen family. We lost Chris Mortensen a few weeks ago. He's kind of the reason why we do this show. In theory, we're not experts, but we're not journalists. But he changed the game. He made you know, the Adam Schefters and the Jay Glazers and all Jonathan Jones, whoever's on talking football. He opened that door. He was the godfather of that, and he met so much to the business. You know, I was very heartbroken when I learned he passed away. So, you know, thoughts go out to the Mortensen family, you know, for that. But moving on, we're going to talk about the Eagles. That's why we, you know, Ken knows that, how we start. But let's be honest. I mean, you know, last year was a rough ending to what was a promising season. But then again, I don't think it was ever good to begin with. We just got by. But they made major moves. And obviously the biggest move they made was getting Saquon. And Saquon is now an Eagle. A lot of people believe that he can be that. He's that dynamic piece that we haven't had here since Shady McCoy. Now, we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, they made changes defensively. We got back Gardner Johnson, who left in shambles in Detroit. Really didn't do much. They didn't really need him either. And obviously some other things have happened. Unfortunately, we still, you know, time will tell if Hassan Reg will still be an Eagle or not. He's not only subject to trade. They said that they'll trade him on draft night possibly. So we'll hope and pray that he stays an Eagle, but we don't know if that's going to happen or not. So, like I said, Matt, I'm sure you know this is what you wanted. You wanted to do a recap of these free agent moves. So your thoughts on the Eagles and what you think. Are they closer to being what they were in 22, or do they still have some work to do to get past the 49ers, at least at the moment?
Yeah, well, I'll just go through the key signings, but yeah, I mean, the Eagles are obviously, with Saquon Barkley, have a much better offense on paper. The team in general is improved on paper. I also think that the additions of Vic Fangio at defensive coordinator and Kellen Moore at offensive coordinator, obviously, when you look at the garbage we had with those two coordinators last year, three technically, when you add in your boy Matt Patricia. You know,
piece of shit.
when you look at all three of them compared to what we have now, guys that can actually, like, you know, run an offense and run a defense, it's going to – that alone was going to be a major improvement with this team. But then you throw in Saquon Barkley. I think, you know, as long as he's healthy, it's going to be a huge move. The question is, he's 27. He's already a guy who's got an injury history. So, you know, we got to hope he can stay healthy, because it would be, it would add a new take our offense to another level to have him. And then you look at some of the other moves. We already talked about Pickett. We brought in Will Greer, but really we have a good quarterback group. You know, Jalen Hurts, Kenny Pickett, Tanner McKee showed a lot of potential as a rookie in the preseason last year. That's nice. Offensive line, yeah, we lost Jason Kelce. That's going to hurt a lot, obviously. But we still probably have the best offensive line in the NFL. That just shows how good our offensive line is. So, you know, Cam Jurgens slides inside the center, right guard. We'll see who gets the starting job. Tyler Steen has the advantage. He's going to have to win it, though. You know, we brought in Matt Hennessy, who was a guard center type combination player drafted in the second round out of Temple. He's not bad. He's had some injury problems, but he's going to compete for that right guard spot. And I'm telling you now, don't be surprised if the Eagles draft an offensive lineman in the first round this year. Probably a guy that's going to be the future replacement for Lane Johnson, but maybe a guy that can also slide inside and compete for that right guard position. And the guy, when we get to the draft, look for – I mean, Tyler Guyton's going to be the pick. If the Eagles have a shot at getting him, they're going to get him. He'll be Lane Johnson's replacement. Just we'll get into the draft when we get closer. But yeah, then they brought in a couple receivers that are pretty much worthless, let's be honest. Devontae Parker, he's garbage. He's not even guaranteed to make the team. Paris Campbell's got speed, and that's about it. Yeah, basically another Quez Watkins. We need to use an early draft pick on a receiver. A lot of these Eagles fans, you know, they're over here. Oh, for the second straight year, they want to ignore the offense in the draft and just go all defense. I'm sorry, but we need another receiver, because when you look at this team, man, we got two great receivers and then two guys, just like last year, I said Olamide and Quez were number four at best receivers. That's what we have right now in Parker and Campbell, number four receivers. And when you look at those other two, Devontae Smith's contract is coming up. A.J. Brown, he's going into year three of a four-year deal. He's going to want an extension after this year. We can't extend both. One of them's going to have to go, you know? So we need to get at least one receiver in this draft. And this draft is absolutely loaded at receiver. We can get studs. We probably should be drafting two, one in the first two rounds and then one on day three. But, yeah, we might be trading Hassan Reddick. It seems very likely. I don't know what we're going to get for him. If you ask me, I think that we might trade him to move up in the first round to draft Tyler Guyton. We'll see. But they did bring in his replacement in Bryce Huff, which, you know, nice player. Like you said, Gardner Johnson. That's going to help solidify the secondary. And, you know, there's still the potential. It seems like Howie's going to sign another veteran safety, whether it's Justin Simmons or Blackman. They're looking to sign another safety. And then they brought in a linebacker. The problem is the linebacker is Devin White. And if you look at these Eagles fans, I mean, they're on these message boards. Oh, this guy's way better than anything we had. He's going to really solidify. He sucks. He's a great athlete, but he's not a good player, man. He had a great run in the playoffs when they won the Super Bowl. That's all he's ever done. Last year, he was 80th out of 82 players in Pro Football Focus rankings at linebacker. His best PFF grade for a season is 51.9. That's horrible. He got benched. He got benched last year because he sucked so bad. Just for comparison, 51.9 is his best PFF grade. Nick Morrow graded as a 71.5 last year. So that's just – I mean, he's like I said, he was 80th out of 82 linebackers. He's not good. He's a great
Matt, Matt, is he the guy that came out the same year as Devin Bush?
Yeah. He went to
So
Tampa.
They were both bad. Okay. I thought he was okay. Better than Bush.
No, you would think so, because you see some flash plays, but he sucks. I call him the Justin Fields of linebackers. We still have a big hole at linebacker. They still have a lot of faith in Nakobe Dean, but we still need to get a linebacker early. And then one signing that I really liked that was under the radar, that a player that I liked in the draft a couple years ago, is Zach Bond, who's sort of like a combination linebacker edge rusher. Apparently, also Vic Fangio is really high on him and is going to try to make him into like an Andrew Van Ginkle, who was a free agent this year, who can kind of do a little bit of everything: rush the passer, play linebacker, play off linebacker, cover, kind of do a little bit of everything, play on the edge. So overall, it was a good free agency class. I'm not making it great, though. We'll see how the draft turns out. If everything comes together right and we have the draft that complements what we've already done, yeah, this team could make some noise. Well, they're going to make some noise anyway, but they could be the best team in the NFC.
That's why I'm not giving them an A grade right now.
Yeah,
I have an A grade, but not for the Eagles right now, because there's still a lot of work to be done.
We still have to see what they do in the draft. My grade for this is a B, maybe a B plus, in that range right now. But it does have the potential to shoot up to an A with a great draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I was just going to say was in terms of the big deals, because I didn't know I'm a little the smaller ones. I was a little. Slightly a head scratcher to let go of Swift to bring in Barkley. I do find Barkley, I think, is better, but I don't know how much better. Is it that much better in terms of especially a salary situation? Will he, and obviously the concern you have is healthy. That's the thing I was said about him with the Giants. If he stays healthy with the team, the Giants needed him to stay healthy. And last year he did pretty well. Unfortunately, the team was so bad, and Danny Dimes got hurt early, that he couldn't salvage it. With the Eagles, yeah, if he's, if he gets in 16 games, James is going to be a big help to Jalen. Like I said, someone who might be able to catch a little better than DeAndre, but DeAndre ran the ball well. I just felt the Eagles' offensive personnel and then the coaching was just ignored him, by December. Like Swift was ready to go, and we just stopped running the ball. So if we don't change that philosophy, then you're going to waste Barkley's time too. So I hope that, like you said, with Vic Fangio, the long talking to our head coach gap, that we'll start to see everybody used better, and then he can be a definite significant upgrade with the offensive line, and obviously losing Kelsey, that hurts. And but it was coming. We have to start to prepare ourselves for next. So, but like you said, Matt, we may still be the best offensive line in the game still. That we will see. And then, of course, defensively, I'm still looking for a strong, big-time playmaking linebacker. I don't know if that's available. But
that's why I'm in the draft.
I know, and I'm concerned with Hassan Reddick talk about letting him go. That one of our edge rushers we got that was very, very good. I don't want to lose him. So I guess one of the things we'll see how that goes. So for me, I don't anticipate winning. I'm on the root for. I don't anticipate we're going to win that. Is the championship next year? Just don't feel like championship ready. Maybe in the next year, but we'll see what other position, what other things are made. I think my biggest concern is Jalen going to be right. I need him to be right. He ain't right.
Yeah.
It all falls apart, and whatever still happened last year, we still don't have full answers. But I need him to be right up here.
Yeah. Well, to touch on what you just said there, Kwame, I do think the Eagles are a better team on a significantly better team on paper right now than they were just say halfway through the year last year when they were actually winning games. Okay. And I do think that Kellen Moore is going to get a lot out of Jalen Hurts in this offense. But to touch on what you're saying about comparing Swift to Saquon Barkley, my only thing with Barkley is whether or not he's healthy.
Yeah.
When healthy, he's probably the second best running back in the NFL behind Christian McCaffrey. And he's definitely significantly better than DeAndre Swift. Swift has the speed. He can make plays. But the difference between the two, really – DeAndre Swift doesn't break any tackles. All right. He can make some guys miss, but he breaks zero tackles. And, you know, you look at last year, he ranked 40th out of 46 running backs with at least 70 attempts in yards after contact per attempt. So, you know, he doesn't break tackles. Saquon is a big guy. He breaks tackles. These new rules that the NFL is putting in place to make it even harder to tackle, it's just going to help Saquon too. And then they're going to have to draft a linebacker. At this point, there's nothing out there in free agency unless they can make a trade. And the only other thing I'm going to say, you know, I say it all the time, you got to let your young guys play if they show that they can play. I see a lot of people in Philly. Oh, we want a cornerback in the first round. All this stuff. We need a cornerback. I don't think they need to draft a cornerback this year early. We got Darius Slay. Like it or not, he's our number one cornerback on the outside. We got a couple guys that can play the slot. I think we should probably be drafting another nickel cornerback, maybe in like the fourth, fifth round. But when you talk about outside cornerbacks, we got that one spot open. I don't expect Bradbury to be here, but we got Kelee Ringo. We got Eli Ricks. They both played at a high level, especially Ringo at the end of the year last year. They showed they could play in this league. And to sit here and bring in another cornerback, and especially if like a first-round guy or something, you're burying them. You're not giving them a chance to play. And then you also got to remember, we have Isaiah Rodgers, who we signed, who is a really good cornerback that was suspended for last year because of gambling. He's going to be reinstated, and he can play the slot too. So all of a sudden, we got Darius Slay, we got Isaiah Rodgers, we've got one spot to fill, and two guys that have shown that they can play in this league. So outside of like a fourth or fifth round pick, I don't think we need to go cornerback. Just – something that everyone's talking about that I just think is a bad take, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I mean, when I look at this roster, I mean, yeah, it is better. We have better coordinators. I mean, I already tell you the loser is the Cowboys. They didn't do shit. And now they're basically putting themselves in a very – to me – you want to talk about a train wreck. You got Dak, who needs a new contract, allegedly. He should have been traded. He should have asked for a trade out of there. And that was one of my big mistakes at the end of our last show. What was it called? I was supposed to say, should Dak seek a trade? Should he just ask for a trade out of there? That was one of my questions I missed to ask free questions. And then the fact that you have a head coach that's on an expiring contract and he's not getting a new deal. He has to coach or else. And they already lost Dan Quinn. And that defense also got weaker. That offense is weaker. They lost Gallup and all that. So really, the Eagles have no excuse to not win the NFC East this year, because 20 years and the NFC East has not changed. It always changed hands, and it's going to again this year. Cowboys are much weaker, or at least they're not going to be a 12-win team, more of a 10-win team at best this year. So the Eagles should win this division and comfortably if everybody's healthy and plays their role, you know. But, I mean, like I said, I mean, I do agree with you, Matt. The secondary is pretty much set. That's, you know, it's the linebacker. And one thing about Vic Fangio's defense is he doesn't employ the linebacker very much. So Howie and Jeffrey Lurie is going to have to get their asses to get together and find that, try to get Jeremiah Trier's son, because, you know, Vic Fangio will bitch his way to tell you, where's my linebacker? The fuck is my linebacker at?
Yeah. Well, I got four linebackers. I'd be ecstatic if they could get one of them. And one of them is Trotter Jr.
He should be right on the top of this list. Yeah. And Kenny should know, because Joey Porter, they drafted his son.
Yeah.
They drafted his son. So why not? You know?
Well, when we did
to each his own, right?
You know, yeah. We did our show in the middle of the season, and I told you my guy for Eagle, like my endorsement for the next first round pick, it was Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I said that probably more so in a trade down into the second round. But even so, you know, that was my pick, and I'm still sticking by it. I think not in the first round, but he's going to be going in the second round now. I'd be ecstatic if we got him in the second round, just like the Steelers did with Joey Porter. He dropped in the second round.
Yeah, you go what you know.
Yeah.
Joey Porter did a great job, and I'm sure some will be the same way.
Yeah. And, yeah, so, you touching on what you said about the Cowboys, too. I agree, man. I got them. I actually got three winners, three losers from the offseason. The Cowboys are on my losers list, you know, especially they lost Dan Quinn, too. That's going to hurt. And they've done zeroed up.
They lost Gallup. Gallup is gone. They let him go.
Yeah, they've done nothing. They haven't brought in any significant players. They've lost a couple. They've done nothing to upgrade that team. They're worse.
Tony Pollard's gone. He's gone. I mean, yeah, CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, CeeDee Lamb's an elite receiver, has elite talent, but he needs help. He's not a guy that can just take over by himself. He needs guys on the left side, and he doesn't have that anymore. He doesn't have that anymore. And
yeah, we'll see. There's still talk that they might trade for Stephon Diggs or something.
I don't know. I feel like if the Bills trade away Stephon Diggs. And I'll give you a winner, Matt, the New York Jets. Yep. I like what they did. And if Aaron Rodgers is not narcissistic and he gets his ass where it's at, I think the Jets can win the division next year, this season. I do. I think they have the roster to compete with the Bills. And if you get rid of Stephon Diggs, Aaron Rodgers, you just get a 70% Aaron Rodgers. He don't have to be in his prime no more. A 70% Aaron Rodgers, they'll be fine. Jets will be a threat again.
Yeah.
70%.
Yeah.
No, yeah. At 70%, yeah. 70% better than 50% of it, than 80% most quarterbacks.
Yeah, well, they are on my list of winners. They're my number three winner, the Jets, for this offseason so far. And I'll say KC up until a few days ago was actually my third winner. They didn't make any major moves other than bringing in your boy Hollywood Brown. But, I mean, that's a big move when you talk about his speed matching up with Mahomes. And they retained at that time. They retained just about all their key starters from the defense that was, you know, elite last year. But a few days ago, then they went and they traded Legarius Sneed away for a future third round pick. I had to drop him off my list because you're trading away a shutdown cornerback in his prime, basically your defensive MVP. You know, him and Chris Jones were the two best players on that defense. They traded him away for practically nothing. So
and I have to I would assume the Titans are one of your winners too.
They are not actually, but they are. I do like their.
They are an improved team, though.
They are. I think some of that money they spent wasn't exactly smart. Like, you know, given Calvin Ridley got overpaid, but overall they had a they're a better team. If you want me to give my other two winners, one of them is going to surprise you. Now, number two, I do like what the Texans did. They did bring in Joe Mixon for what that's worth. They had no running game at all last year. Actually, the second half of the year, it was pretty good with Singletary. But, I mean, Singletary is what he is. But they brought in a number of defensive players to help that defense out, to give D'Amico Ryans his guys. I do like what they did to improve that defense. But my number one team, this one's going to surprise you, man, because of who they brought in. But I'm putting my winner for the offseason as the Falcons.
Well, yeah, your boy. Yeah, your boy.
They brought in Kirk Cousins.
As you call the winner, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, not the winner, but you know what? I got it. This was team with absolute awful quarterback play. And even if he's not a big game quarterback, Kirk Cousins can run an offense, you know?
Can win a lot of games. Yeah, he can. Yeah, I agree.
We'll see about that. But, I mean, he's got a ton of talent around him too, man. He's got the three guys I already talked about when I talked about Arthur Smith. They brought in Rondale Moore. They brought in Darryl Mooney, who's got some speed. Both of them do. I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in another receiver in the draft. And you look at the coaching change they made. Arthur Smith is out. Raheem Morse, okay, he's not some amazing coach, but he is a smart defensive coach. He'll help that defense out.
He's a coordinator more than a coach.
Yeah, exactly. He's basically their defensive coordinator. And then Zach Robinson, they brought over from the Rams. He's going to be their offensive coordinator. And, you know, Kirk Cousins playing in Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell came from the Sean McVay system. Zach Robinson coming from L.A., coaching under Sean McVay. He's bringing the same system, so it's not something that Cousins has to learn. I just think that the Falcons had it. That's huge. I think they're going to the playoffs this year. And in Kirk Cousins, typical Kirk Cousins fashion, they'll go to the playoffs and could be one and done.
They're a secondary away from being in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, well, no.
They're secondary. They have to improve that.
They're a secondary and a winning quarterback away from being in the NFC Championship.
Well, the quarterback has to win. Yes, you called him the loser for forever.
Yeah.
But now he's in Atlanta. He's now in an underachieving – well, he's gone from one underachieving franchise to another. But Atlanta, it's the scenery's better. The weather's better.
And the dome. Even the dome in another place. It's still going to be the dome.
I know. His wife's from Atlanta. So,
That should help him play better.
A little bit easier at home. Yeah.
Arthur Blank, he was talking, I think it was earlier today or was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday or today I heard him. He seems like he's got a pep in his step, his old ass. He's really looking forward to he's really looking forward to Kurt, you know.
Yeah,
I don't think he's been this excited since Michael Vick was there.
Well, it's going to be big for the franchise, man. I mean, this isn't a franchise that is known to win a lot of games. They're going to win this division, and they're going to be.
Well, I tell you, well, how
even
much...
though I still think the Saints and the Bucks might have something to say for it,
the Bucks are going downhill, and the Saints are nothing either.
Yeah, the Falcons might win the division, but sorry, division. And so when he signed that new deal, a new $100 million guarantee, buddy, this is what we were passing around amongst my buddies. Oh, it was just damn, Mr. Bags.
So Bags.
If I play this, but it won't play right, but it's a TikTok. Someone took together this on TikTok. How much money this guy has made? And I looked up how many his career playoff situation. Dude got on playoff win.
Yep.
One. If he completes this contract, he will make more money than Tom Brady. six-time world champion. This guy is going to have more money than Tommy B. I got to give him credit. I got to give Kurt credit. He found a way to make mediocre.
Great agent.
He found a way to make mediocre fun.
His agent's no loser.
Great agent.
And remember,
great agent.
And remember, Tom Brady was a very unselfish player. That's the reason why he won so many Super Bowls, because he didn't he sacrificed his money to bring in the players in New England to win it. And in Tampa Bay in 2020 as well. So there's a difference. If you care about winning, you'll cut your salary to make sure you get that guy that can put you over. And, you know, hey, we're all going to make more money than Tom Brady, it seems like, in this business. But, hey, at the end of the day, it's not how much money you make. It's how many championships you win.
Yeah, right.
That's right. That's why he's Mr. Bags.
Mr. Loser Bags. Yeah. I'm sure there's a person named Loser Bags somewhere in this country.
I'm going to send this to you.
What about losers? You guys got any losers besides the
Cowboys?
Well,
I already said the Cowboys are a big loser. Giants don't have anything anymore. They're totally in doubt. They don't know what the hell they're going to do.
Yeah,
I heard they drafted a receiver. Who are they going to, a receiver? Who's going to throw them the ball? Daniel Jones. They don't even. They're at a point where they're going to sit him for the money that they spent. They don't even want him anymore, and they're going to have to sit. They're going to have to play him until he gets hurt, you know?
Yeah, well.
I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, I'll say this, man.
Matt, give me your three losers. Give me your three losers.
I already said the Cowboys. Okay, or one. I'm not going to even kill. Number two is I got the Chargers, man. Chargers are losers. I know they brought in Harbaugh. I had a lot of hope that he'd turn that team around and challenge KC. But I look at what they did this offseason, and I think the NFL game might have passed this guy by, man. First of all, he brings in Greg Roman, runs this a terrible, outdated scheme. They're going to try to run the ball like 50 times a game. Yeah, this is what he did in college. His whole game was run the ball and play defense. Unfortunately, in college, he has all 5-star recruits playing for him. You can do that. This is the NFL. Everybody's a 5-star recruit. But then you look at what else they did this offseason. They got rid of their entire offense outside of Justin Herbert. Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, Gerald Everett. They got rid of them all. They really didn't bring in any significant players. So now Justin Herbert's sitting there with practically nothing to throw to. They got Josh Palmer. They got Quentin Johnson, who did nothing last year. I mean, they brought in your boy Gus Johnson, and I'm hearing their Greg Roman saying he's going to be the bell cow. I mean, that's their big move. Sorry, man. I think this guy needs to come into the new era of the NFL and realize that this is a passing league now. You can't run the ball 50 times a game anymore. You can be a more balanced attack than other teams, but you got to have a passing attack, man. So I think the Chargers are losers, and my number one loser is pretty practically – it's not the Giants per se, but they are losers. But I got Brian Daboll as my number one loser of the offseason, man. This guy, every year, the last couple years anyway, when we do our – pick our awards, I also include in the awards who's the first coach that's going to get fired. He's my favorite going into this draft, man. He's – you look at what happened – Wink Martindale just like walked away from the team. He just got so fed up with him. There were a lot of other rumors that their offensive coordinator, what's his name from the Chiefs, the quarterback the Eagles used to have from Northwestern, whatever. Their offensive coordinator, he didn't want to coach for him. Apparently the coaching staff all hates Brian Daboll because he sounds like a psychopath, the way these rumors were.
Wow.
They lost their only weapon on offense, Saquon Barkley. They got nothing. And, yeah, like you said, Daniel Jones is their quarterback. I mean, this team's going to be bad this year, I'm telling you. Daboll is my pick for first coach.
Well, think about this. Daniel Jones was their starting quarterback, and they were horrible last year when he played.
Yeah.
When they got hurt, they actually played better. Think about that. Think about that. Your starting quarterback, the money you paid, He's crap. The team is crap. He gets hurt, and the team is not much better, but they play
better. Right. Yeah.
Isn't that something? Ain't that something?
With DeVito.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's right now would be flagged the starter.
Yeah, maybe.
Guys, yeah, I have to take off now. Sorry about that.
Oh, no.
I love this conversation, man. I love listening to you guys. This is a highlight, man. This is really fun stuff. So hopefully I'll be able to talk to you. I hope if I can be part of that draft night, if I'm around, I'd love to participate. So,
hey, Ken, I'm going to see you on April 25th, right, at the thing, right?
Yep. I'll be there.
We're going to do our show. We're going to do a show the night before. We're going to do our draft preview show the night before if you're interested.
Okay. Perfect. I'll put it on my calendar now. Make sure I have the right date. 24th.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care. Sorry about that.
All right. Good seeing you.
Have a good night. All right.
See you. Bye now.
Yep. I ain't going to be long anyway. I don't really have much information because as I told Rob in the first place, except that I know that Dallas stunk it up. And that the fact that they're debating whether or not to extend Dak at like 50 a year, like, oh man. And then we knew about the Giants. I said, we get Barkley, they get nothing in return. Danny Dimes, who knows what he's going to do. And so the division should come back to the Eagles' favor.
Yeah, Washington. A lot of people say Washington won. What the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, I see people saying that. I don't really think it was anything special. And I mean, Dan Quinn is their head coach. I'm not.
Yeah,
it's nothing that has me thrilled with them.
The only thing I could say is, okay, you got Austin Eckler, which I think is an upgrade, but he's not that much. I mean, he's okay.
Yeah.
And then, but the defensive coordinator, I forgot his name, was somebody Dallas was going to replace. If Dan Quinn left, but Dan Quinn took him.
Yeah.
So now they have to, you know, now they went back to Mike Zimmer, who was one time under Bill Parcells, the defensive coordinator. And I think, I'll say this, how much of a train wreck Dallas could be? You think Mike Zimmer might be the head coach by Thanksgiving? You think Jerry Jones could fight? Look, you might say Dable will get fired first. That might be true. But Dallas is in a pressure cooker that even the Giants couldn't even fathom with Dable. Really, I'm still under contract for two more years. They can get rid of McCarthy and don't have to worry about paying anything. So, you know, do the Giants really need to fire their fourth head coach in the last 8 years?
Yeah. Well, they're just going to keep going through head coach in New York, man. It's even worse in Philly. But in New York, you got to win or you're out. It's just how it goes.
And they haven't won shit there.
Yeah.
Forever, it seems like. Since I probably made it through puberty, maybe since puberty.
Yeah, right.
I mean, damn, Eli Manning better get in the Hall of Fame. What the crap he did. I mean, two championships.
Yep.
Two championships, right. And he put up decent numbers, even though his record is average. He was only average, but
two-time champ.
He won tile. He won two championships. He did exactly what he was brought in to do. So at the end of the day, no matter what we think of him as a quarterback or his abilities, whatever, he did work for New York for what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yep. More of an overachievement than an underachievement, even though his record is average.
Yeah, the better Manning.
But then again, the Giants are shit anyway. It's been a shit organization forever, it seems like. You take away Parcells and Belichick in the late 80s, and then they'll just, you know, every 5 years they'll have at least one decent year.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, once every 5 years. That's about right.
Yeah. All right. So that's all I got.
Yeah. I mean, I could talk for hours, but that's pretty much all I got, too.
So, like I said at the end of of last year's show, the last show, that I might step down and let Kwame take over. But I've come
and
to
I
my
still don't know how you just decide that.
But I've come to my senses. I've come to my senses. I'm not doing that this year. We're back full time for season 7. You know,
we're back full time
for season 7. We have a big first show. Like I said, we're going to do 3 live shows again this fall, and this one's big because we're going to have more people than ever. We're going to get enough people to come in, and more importantly, for the very first time, you get to see Matt for the first time. He will be at this live show.
Well, hopefully,
he will be at the live show.
Yeah, hopefully. Right. It depends on where I'm living.
This time is different.
Well,
we get everybody in. So, you know, like I said, we still have the round table that will be discussed at the end of our draft shows and stuff. But the biggest news, the biggest significant changes, we're moving to YouTube. The look back will be on YouTube full time this fall. This is it's finally going to happen. We're going to YouTube, so people can listen and look at our faces and laugh and cry and bitch and whatever. They can leave comments. They can be experts themselves. We'll start putting together some things, some stuff in the future. But when we come back week one, September, or actually our first show will be our preview, and that will be our first YouTube show. And then we'll test that out. And then when we get our preview, our award show will be fully on YouTube moving forward. Along with, obviously, we'll have our special guests this year. We'll have our special guests. And Matt, I know you got some buddies. They're allowed to be on the special guest. We can get anybody. Anybody we want.
Yeah.
So I know, Matt, you got buddies up in Bethlehem, so I'm sure they'll be happy to see your ass.
Okay. Yes. So you're making a permanent move back up north. All right.
Yeah, we'll see exactly where I'm at. It depending on where I'm living, I'll be able to come on that. But if I'm like way up in the Poconos, I don't think I'm driving down to Philly, guys. Which is a
Come down once.
It's not that far a drive. We're going to Pocono this July.
It's like 2.5 hours each way, man.
Yeah.
True.
But we'll see what we can come up with. But the big, like I said, the big deal is we're going to be on YouTube. We'll have a special guest every week. We'll do our pick'ems. You know, I'm redeeming myself this year in both the pick in our picks and in our suicide pool. I'm coming back.
I'm going back to back.
You know, I'm coming back. I'm ready to raise hell again. All right. Well, that's all we have for this this look back special, the free agency review. Our next show is April 24th, our draft preview, where we talk about what the Eagles will do with the draft, the quarterbacks and players to look out for in the draft, potential bust, potential breakout guy. And new this year, undrafted free agent star, because you know there's going to be one or two that's going to break through
New for you, but that's something that I always give you.
But more importantly, the annual Matt previews mock draft of the Eagles. What will the Eagles do? His mock draft, his annual famous mock draft. Hopefully, John will be back for that episode. I have to remind him later on. So that's all we have for this episode. Hope you all enjoyed it. We'll send it out. Kwame, you know the drill. Take us home.
If I get rocked for my kids.
Now I hear it.
We still hustle till the sun come up. Tackle 40 when the sun go down. It's a cold winter. Y'all better bundle up. And I better be a hotter summer rapper.